want to thank again the friends Lori and Leslie Fellinger for opening up the home for us. And Hashem's book should open up for all Klal Yisrael who is in Yeshua's, and this year should be a schus for a Jew who needs a refuah besides Shar Chal Yisrael, Mordechai Baruch Rafal Ben Chana should have a refuah shleim. We're on page Yudches, sort of winding down. It's almost Yontif. Everything we're learning now, of course, is to prepare for Yontif, where it says on page Yudches, Ubefrat b'shnei ha'na'aris. Rabbi Tzvi Meir here was explaining, we were talking about this last week, how a Jew comes from a place of tanugim, of mesikas, of great delight and of great sweetness. And in this world, and especially in our times, because of, for many, many reasons that we spoke a little bit about, it happens quite often that the sweetness and the joy and the excitement that is in Yiddishkeit is not really being shown. That side of Yiddishkeit is not being shown to the children. They don't see that. They might not see it so much in the home, they might not see it so much in the school. And as a result of that, this drive that's natural in a Jew who comes from Hashem's throne of glory, who comes from Gan Eden, it's natural that the Jew, more than any other person in the world, seeks fulfillment and excitement. Chazal in the Medrash and Kahalas, which I'm sure you've heard, describe this as this entire world as a relationship between Abbas Melech and a Ben Kfar, that you have a princess who married a very sweet, nice guy, but a fellow from the village, you know, plain guy. So the Medrash says that no matter what he brings her, no matter what he does for her, it really doesn't add up, because she's Abbas Melech, because she comes from the palace. So the poor guy works so hard, and he gets her, like, you know, a nice coat. It doesn't mean anything, because in the palace she had all the fur coats and all the most beautiful things in the world. So even if he brings her kalma adane olam, all the delicacies of the world, it really means little to her. So the story of our people, the story of Klal Yisrael in this world, is the story of the Bas Melech, of the princess, who's married to this world and is part of this world. And whatever this world brings a Jew, whatever the world brings a Jew, it doesn't satisfy him. It doesn't bring a feeling of contentment. We think that it will. We expect it to. And because of that, it seems, I was explaining, we look for tanugim, for pleasure, and we look for the fulfillment of fantasies in things of this world. And we're looking for geshmak and for a simcha in this world. And this world, of course, can't provide that. On the other hand, when it comes to learning, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, kol haschalos koshes, it's very, very hard. It seems like something which is unfulfilling from the outside. Only when you're really in it does it give you that joy. But from the outside, it's unfulfilling, especially since many of us were raised in an environment where Yiddishkeit wasn't particularly wasn't presented as being so exciting and beautiful and real. So there's this feeling of the heaviness of Yiddishkeit, and since it's true and it's real, when it comes to anything that's true, the rule is kol haschalos koshes. At the beginning, it's very difficult, it's very hard, but Hashem promises that mikan yarev lechem, that it's going to become mikan ve'elach yarev lechem, it's going to get sweet, it's going to become beautiful once you're in it. So we're on page Yudches ubefrat b'shnei hanaros. The sign of a young person is that person believes that particular form of enjoyment or pleasure that his or her friends see as being important, or that's presented on the television or wherever it might be, that zemashu, that's really something. It's an unbelievable thing. That's really something fantastic. So at the beginning of Chavis HaTalmidim, the Rebbe writes over there, the Eish Kodesh writes, Shalifnei Bias HaMashiach HaYetz HaMachnes V'Lev HaYelodim HaTzi'irim U'mafato Yisam Lerak B'chol Min HaPituyim. The Chavis HaTalmidim says that in those days before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a new type of a way that the Yetzer Hara, there'll be a new Yetzer Hara, a new way that the Yetzer Hara functions. And what will that be? Besides all the regular things that the Yetzer Hara is working on, and all the regular projects of the Yetzer Hara, there'll be something new. And what's that? This is a very, very big Yetzer Hara now, and it's something which is unique to our times. It never, ever was until our times. When I say our times, I mean the last 70, 80 years. It was never. What's that? Where the children are convinced that they know more than their parents and their teachers. There was never such a thing. Years ago, and you still see this, by the Svardim, who have still, there's a taste of what once was. And by the Svardashi, you see that in general, there is a recognition that the parents and that the teachers are very special and wise and great and holy and so on. But when it comes to what happened to us meaning the Bnei Ashkenaz, what we picked up in the cynicism of the Enlightenment, in the cynicism of what happened, the transformation took place in Europe, is that something changed. And what changed was is that the parents and the teachers no longer know anything. And the children consider themselves to be Yosef Chacham Mikol Ha'olam, to be the smartest people in the world. And I don't know if it's only me, but I'm sure some of you, I shouldn't say that, maybe some of you have also been in situations where you have 30, 40 years of experiencing and understanding something, and you share this with a young person, and you get the eyes rolling, and it's like, you know, you just don't know. And I'm trying to say, why wouldn't I know? I mean, why would you know? I mean, I'm not saying that I know about the things that I'm negated to you at this time. I certainly don't know the music that you know. I don't know the games on the machines that they have. I don't know that, but there are certain things that I know from just life's experiences, and that I receive from my father and from my mother, and the things that we know, and that doesn't necessarily work. There's this feeling that the Yisrochah Mikol Ha'olam, the Rebbe, the Piazesna, talks about in the beginning of Chavos HaTalmidim. I mean, some of you maybe were in my wife's class last year. I think she went to Chavos HaTalmidim on Wednesday. If you review that, you'll see unbelievable what the Rebbe goes through over there, the whole change that's taken place in modern times. The children are convinced that they know the truth. And they're always telling their parents, you don't know, or you don't understand me. And this is not how it is. Anybody thinks differently, especially from the friend. There's always the friend. And if you say anything different from the friend, who's the Rosh of the Chabura, the one who your entire life depends upon, is the craziest thing. You know, you've been preparing to have children your whole life, and you've been davening and crying, and you try to send them to the best yeshivas, and you do everything you can for them, and then it ends up like being up to some goofy kid. You know, your whole child's future depends on some friend. And then when the kid, like when the friend comes to the house, he say, I can't believe that everything depends on you. Like, who made you the Reish, you know, and the Rebbe of my kid? you're as confused and more confused than he is. Well, you became the Reish. But my friend knows. Rakhem Yoidim Umavinim. It's not anymore, even when I'm not so old, but you know, when a teacher says something, or a teacher was critical, or when a Rebbe, when the Rebbe had a taina against me, it wasn't a question of me feeling that I was done a terrible injustice and going home and have my parents like have that teacher fired or something. It was I was mavuyish, I was embarrassed to say anything to my parents, because it wasn't a shaila that I'm just a little nothing, a little nobody. And even if I felt like, I felt like, you know, like this teacher's being particularly rough and so on, but it wasn't a question of I know more, or I had to, my father ever in my life had to like work an inyan out with me, that I should be makabalat. There was no such thing that he had to work something out with me. He's a very wonderful and kind person, and he always said everything in a gentle way, but it wasn't like we're having a vote. This is not up for a vote. This is what we're doing. And I never had a havi in my life to ask him why. My mother, I did. A little bit. But it was only until my father got home. And then that was the end of that. But, and I had no resentment. I wasn't angry. I didn't put me at risk. I was perfectly happy and loved my family and was well adjusted. I didn't feel any of the, any anger or frustration, because I assumed that my father, and I still do, that my father knew and he knows. And I still talk to him, and there's something that I'm thinking, I don't understand, I'm wondering about, and the same thing with my Rebbe. And this was a feeling that was very common amongst us, even though we were kids and we were having fun, we were also cynical and wise guys and so on, but there was, and I'm talking about not a long time ago, there was a hakar, there was a recognition that we're nobodies, that we don't know anything, and that these are people, that know more than us, nechash of the people, we don't know anything. So there was derech eretz, and we were makabel, and we received from these people. But before Mashiach comes, there's such a metzias that the children think that rak heim yoidim mevinim. The heim yoidim she'ef shalim tza'ilam hazeb eizem okam ha'abakan fe'esar. Remember we learned last week that Rabbi Nachman said, I heard that they say that there's such a thing as this world, but I've never seen it, because all I've ever seen is misery and suffering. So where's this Olam Hazeh that everybody's talking about? But the children growing up nowadays, they're convinced that they know where Olam Hazeh is. They know exactly where it is. They know what they want to do after they finish school. They really know what they want to do during school. And they know exactly where Olam Hazeh is. So you'll have... So kids can't understand now, how is it possible for parents to say, for a parent to say, you're going to marry so-and-so? They can't be masters or something. When a generation ago, that's how it was. But how can we even explain to our children that parents chose... The parents, they think that's the most, and nowadays really it's very hard to do such a thing. Not because it didn't work, and not because it can't work, but because there's been this change in the attitude of the children. That my parents don't know, my parents don't understand, I know what's good for me, and I know where I'm going to find Olam Hazeh. And therefore they say, where is it, you know, like you have nowadays. And I remember when I was trying to explain this to my father, we had a cousin of mine this is a while back, that he was not doing things that he should be doing in yeshiva and so on, and the relative said to my father, maybe you could talk to him. So my father said, what my father's way of doing was, as I was there, I said, what's the matter with you? Why aren't you in yeshiva? Why aren't you learning? So he said to my father, I'm trying to find myself. Remember that lesson. My father said, you're sitting in this dining room in Queens. What do you mean you're trying to find yourself? I mean, it's such a, to that generation, it's such a strange concept. You're trying to find yourself. And for that, you have to leave and go away and destroy your family and your parents and yourself and everybody to find yourself. That which nowadays, if somebody would say to a kid, what's the matter? What do you mean you're trying to find yourself? They look at us like we're crazy, because like we've never found ourselves. We've never found ourselves, and we have to embark on some unbelievable journey. It's like they think it's such a chashuv a thing, and you can't explain, you can't tell, and if you tried to say anything, then it's worse than not saying. Aval be'em is zahari lamaschil. The truth is, it never even gets started. So why is it that the kids are convinced that they're not going to find Olam Hazeh at home and in yeshiva? So Tzvi Meir is not pulling any punches. What he's saying is, we have to see this, he's very sweet, so he says it in such a sweet way, but what he's saying is, because they're chaser tanugim baruchnis. Let's translate, what does it mean? They're missing pleasure in their spiritual lives. And if that's the case, then they're convinced that this is not where they're going to find it. They're not going to find it in yeshiva, they're not going to find it at home. They're not having any pleasure being in yeshiva, they're not having any pleasure being at home. So because of that, imkain, kol mashu hu mashu, therefore Tzimei says, because of this unbelievable dearth, this lack, this absence of simcha, of having joy in Yiddishkeit, of having a sense of belonging and excitement in Yiddishkeit, they're looking for Olam Hazeh, and they don't see it in the yeshiva, they don't see it in the house, so they look for it in other places. And therefore, the Simeon says, "Kol mashu mashu shekol abba ima or malabna mashgiach, any tiny little drop of that any father or mother or any teacher or any mashgiach or mashpia or rosh yeshiva or manal or principal, kol mashpia b'chol eifin shul, a good friend, kamashu mishtadel b'chol mina eifanim b'chol gila b'chol matzav, whatever you could do at any age in any situation, la shpia samasikus v'sa'or." v'zani'imus v'zasimcha ha'pnimus, to try to be mashpia, to try to give over the light and the pleasantness and the inner joy sheyesh b'chol pratu prat v'avedis Hashem, that's in every tiny little detail of serving Hashem. How wonderful it is, how much pleasure, how beautiful it is. L'chol ben atalmid, to every son, to every student, zo hashmir ha'alyon ha'achi gadol. See, that's the greatest way to watch your children, to protect them. So we think that watching the children is by just getting rid of the internet and by cutting the wires of the telephone and by taking away their cell phones and by trying to isolate them and trying to cut them off from this friend and from that friend and try to only find this kind of school or that kind of school, and it has to be this and that, and to try to send them only to the best camp. And we think there's all going to be the greatest shmira, and how we're going to make sure that they're always dressed the right way, and we're going to watch what they're watching and what they're listening to and who their friends are. All of these things are part of the Shemira, but remember, the children sense this as a negative thing. They feel the parents are always suspicious of them. They don't like that. The children don't like that. Where are you going, honey? Even if you put the honey at the end of the sentence, that doesn't fix it. Where am I going means it. What do you mean, where am I going? I'm not talking about, I'm 16 years old, I'm 15, 16 years old. Nowadays they can really say, I'm 10 years old. You have little girls that they're spaziering up and down Central Avenue. Mm-hmm. They want to go out, they want to go walking up and down Central Avenue, looking in stores and going here and there. It's not something which is has shown evil. But the children have this very fierce feeling of wanting to get out and discover Olam Hazeh. And when the parents are constantly asking, where are you going? What are you doing? Again, I never thought twice about this when I was growing up. And not only didn't we have cell phones then, but I had to call whenever I went someplace. I had to check in. And that was a requirement. There was no such thing that I would go to movies or to go to bowling or someplace with a chaver and not to slip out at some point and call and say, am I don't care, things are right, and that was it. But there was always a feeling that my parents' eyes were upon me every single moment, and I didn't find it disturbing. I found it reassuring. It didn't bother me. Bothered me if I couldn't go to a game or something because my parents wanted me to go to a relative or something. That was just annoying, but it didn't bother me that I felt my parents were constantly aware of where and thinking of where I was. And we learned a few weeks ago that itself is a gewaldig shmir. But nowadays, when the parents are asking the children, where are you going? Who are you talking to? Where were you until now? So more and more, this is becoming something which the children feel is due to suspicion, and that my parents don't trust me, or they don't trust me, and the children are saying this all the time, you don't trust me. We like to say, of course I don't trust you, why should I trust you? You have to be such, what made you such a big, a trustworthy person? But we talk that way, we can't talk that way, they perceive all of this as negativity. So Reb Tzvi Meir is saying that the most powerful shmira, even though we learned before, that you have to always, in a smart way, not always asking the kids, but in a smart way to keep track and to know and where and what and who the friends are, what's going on. But the biggest shmir is, and I've told this to so many parents, and I tell it to myself much more than I've told to anybody else, the biggest shmir is that to try to make the home such a place where the kids are going to want to be home. The kids are going to be happy in their home. They're going to want to be part of the family and grow up in this house. They should feel that there's a mesikus, there's a sweetness with our family, and this is the best place. I've often mentioned this, and I think I mentioned it to this chaver that I was so worried when we had to make the decision, it's already almost 12 years ago, to move to the neighborhood. So I didn't know. I was never really in Woodmere in my life, honestly. Maybe I think once the drop off of my daughters had a friend or something. But I really wasn't here at all. Even though I was in Far Rockaway, it's not far, but it was like a different, it's a different area. So I didn't know. And I was worried, and what? And I know it's going to be, and my children, Gevaltus and my children. On many, many levels, I feel that it's been the biggest broch in our lives. But on a very simple level, so when I was in Yerushalayim, before I made the decision, I went to see different tzaddikim. And one of the tzaddikim, so I said, I'm worried, I don't know what's going to be, I don't know who's in this neighborhood, and who are going to be their friends, I don't know what's going to be. So, I heard it's like, it's the world center of modern orthodoxy, and I don't know what that means for my children, and the television, and the different things, and okay, I'm being honest with you, these are my concerns, Yerushalayim, and so on. And there was a big, big tzaddik that he pinched me on the face. And he said, what are you nervous about? He says the kindlech are going to grow up with you and your wife in the house, not with people all over the neighborhood, but they're going to grow up in your house. It's going to be gewaldig. And I strengthened myself with that amunah, and I see that he was so unbelievably right about that. That whereas in my old neighborhood, a lot of my chaverim, they never ever know where their kids are. They never know where is everybody. They're constantly like going and running and coming. It looks like it's a lot of fun from the outside, but as they get older, it's not so posh. And I always felt that we have, my wife and I, this schus, that our children grow up in our home. Not that they're lonely, they have friends and they get to see and they're very comfortable. But for the most part, this is where they were raised. This is who they are. This is where they grew up. And I've said this many times. I've seen many places where I've gone out of town. There are different challenges out of town. But in a certain way, they have an advantage that the kids are growing up more with the parents. Because the community, that's all they have. They have their little chaver. They're not every night and every day like disappearing and just becoming friends with a group of 20 people. Like if you go to the from neighborhoods, you know, you'll see in different streets, main areas, you'll see like packs that nobody's really developing real relationships. It's just like big globs of kids. And they're not really working out in yonim in their hearts and in their minds. They're just like sort of like moving together like a school of fish from one like place to the next place, and not really, you know. And it's a shmir, it's a gewaldige shmir that the children should be happy in the house. And why we'll do that when they see that there's a sweetness, when the parents are talking in a good way, and when they see that there's simch in the house, and it's a home. And same thing when it comes to the yeshiva, it's so important. I have such a nachas. Sometimes I go, and I go to see children, and I go to different yeshivas to go. I'm invited to go see the kids in the yeshivas, and I see there, especially with the little ones, the projects that they make, the unbelievable projects, and how the Mara talks to them. I'm thinking, really, we needed somebody who was 15, 16 to talk to us that way also. Oh, we didn't have to sit on those little things, and you know, but the sweetness that they have, these women, the Maras, how they talk, and then the Yot and the Rebbe. I went into a class in a certain yeshiva, and there was a Rebbe there. There was a Lubavitcher fellow, an old Lubavitcher, and he said, "Kinderlach." When I walked in, he was doing this. He said to the boys, he said, "Kinderlach, heilige Kinderlach, holy children. I want everybody to close their eyes for a minute and to think how the Baruch Shalom loves you, loves each and every one of you." And I was thinking that that's such a shmir on a child. This is what gives a child the feeling, I want to be here. This is Yiddishkeit is good. Yiddishkeit is good. I don't have to look for companionship or friendship or something, because there's no olam hazeh that's better than being a Jew. There can't be anything that's more geschmack than being a Yid. What could be better than being a Jew? But if the children chalila are growing up and they see that being among Jews and with Jews is not something which is geschmack, so then this is what happens. So he writes, the third line of page Yutes, Zeh Hashmir El Yana Hachi Gadol, Ki Hu Kvar Latzarek Dvar Machayim. He feels that he doesn't need anything else. The child feels that I have everything here. What could I be lacking? I have everything I want over here. Because really, what people are desperate more for than anything else is to have love and companionship. Loneliness is the most terrible thing. So a person feels, where do I need to go? I have everything. Everything I could possibly need, I have here. This is the main struggle with the Yetzer Hara. Every child, that's why I said even 16, 17, he says even the age of Karlo, even a guy that's already married, from the time that you're in Aleph Beis till Karlo, and even in Karlo, if the child would see the sweetness that's in Yiddishkeit, in Torah, b'chol chelki ha-Torah Aleph Beis, if the Aleph Beis is ready. So you know, when the boys are 3 years old, you make an upsharing and you give them the honey on the Aleph Beis, and after that it's downhill. You know, so the first letters are sweet, and you say the Torah should be sweet in your mouth, but then afterwards you have to keep that up, that the Torah should be sweet. And I look back now with my daughters, I was very easy going with my girls. Most of my wife took care of them, but my son, so I had this thing, you know, that I want him to be the Vilna Gaon. he's a good boy, you know, he's a very good boy, but I see now, like, you know, the way that I did it, you know. And my father was always telling me, take it easy, because, you know, after my father came home, I'm doing another Gemara, I'm finishing another Gemara with him, and my father was always saying, you know, take it easy, you know, take it easy with him, you know, go and play a little bit, and I feel that I'm guilty of not giving that sweetness, you know, of making it something which would really, that it would sustain him. Baruch Hashem, he's a wonderful boy, but that Mesikus from the time of Olive Bays, the sweetness and the emus of being a Jew, and on, and Torah and Chumash and Nevi'im and Mishnayis, Ian Bekiyas, when he learns in depth and he starts going Chazara, Reviyung Shulchan Aruch, Sefer Yir, he learns the Musa Sfarim, Pnimi Sotarik, learn Chasidus Sfarim, Chal Yachal Lefiyah Kaychet Shalav, each person according to his own abilities. Zachanoich Lanar Lefi Darka. But Shlomo Melech says that you should educate each child according to his Darach. Mashu Yachal Lefiyah Kishwein Shalai V'Hakaychet Shalai. What he's able to do with his kishrinus, that each child with his own kishrinus, not too much, not too little, with his kaiches, mashu yochel be'emes liskas b'torah hakadosha, what is he capable of accomplishing in Torah? Talmidim sheyesh lahem kaiches be'emes lomod harbe shos v'tzufas kol hayom. There are some students, they have the ability to sit and to learn many hours in a row. A talmidim or yeladim shiroyim she'ein lahem is a kaiches se'ela, meizes shibashi. Then you have other children that they can't sit for so many hours. The problem is that the system doesn't really allow for that. With the girls more so than with the boys, the system doesn't allow for boys who don't have zitzfleisch, who can't sit for hours. The system doesn't really allow for it. And now we're beginning to realize slowly that there have to be ways to give these boys an opportunity to grow at their own pace. But this has been a serious problem, that not every boy could sit for so many hours. Each one according to his, to infuse in the child the feeling of the light and the sweetness and the pleasantness that there is in Torah. Not that the Torah is something that is harsh, and the Torah is something which is unbearable and just creates more and more more of an unpleasant and dry and cold type of a life. B'chol gil, at every age, sharei amesikus as a nimsa b'chol chelke ha'tayr. The truth is that in every single part of the Torah there is this sweetness. Gam ba'aliv beis. You know, you could have one rebbe teaches aliv beis. I remember that my son's aliv beis rebbe was the sweetest Jew I ever met. He's still doing it. The sweetest Jew I ever met. And the aliv beis can be made so sweet. When I think back on where I learned Aleph Beis and how I learned Aleph Beis, it sends, really, literally, it's, if I think about it, it sends shivers up my spine. It was a brutal experience. It was a physically brutal experience with getting hit with sticks and being put up against the wall and being slammed against the wall and being our hands. And it was a brutal experience. It's a, you know, if it were possible somehow to forget Aleph Beis, I think we would all forget Aleph Beis. But, you know, over the years, I guess it stuck with us. But Aleph Beis can certainly be given with such a sweetness, and with stories, and with making games and having a nice time, that it should be something which is pleasant. Gam ba'aleph beis yochel liyelad kazem min tamid. You could make it so enjoyable for a child. Of course, that's usually the case, as I said, with the little kids. But the question is much harder: how do you make it enjoyable for older children? How do you make it enjoyable for sixth graders, and seventh graders, and eighth graders? And I see that there are special teachers that could do that. There are special teachers. And all of us, hopefully, have had in our lives some of those special, special teachers that made Torah so delicious, so pleasant. And I remember I had a Rebbe in 10th grade. I never had a Rebbe like this. I remember everything he taught me. I don't remember from the other ones, but I remember everything he taught me. He was the first Rebbe that ever called us by our names. We never had that. It was always the last name or you. It was never, he called us by our names. Kulam b'shem yikra. You see in this parasha by Midrash, Hashem calls Yisru by his name. It's a big thing. He used to call us by our first name. And then sometimes when you said something good, he would say, Chaimke, Amayshala. Like my father says, and I think, Amayshala. Whoever calls him Amayshala. Only my father calls him Amayshala. But your Rebbe's supposed to be your father. He's supposed to talk that way and teach us that way. He was the only one. We never had such a thing. I can't explain. It was such a chiddush. He was a Yerushalmi Yid. He, Baruch Hashem, is still alive. He's an old Jew, tzaddik. But it was so amazing to us. And you know what? He never had to ask us twice to be quiet, ever. We were chalishing, we were running over each other to make him happy. But the ones that were always yelling and hitting and angry at us, anything we can get away with, get away with. And as much as we can make their lives miserable, we made their lives miserable. He spoke barely in a whisper. Barely in a whisper. But he spoke to us like with derech eretz. So he spoke to us like as someone who cared for us. He used to ask, you know, if you weren't there, he would ask, and how are you feeling? The other Rebbe says, you missed, you have to make up. How are you? And if you were absent for 2 or 3 days, he didn't call to find out whether you were cutting. He called because he was worried, and he would talk to my mother, and he would say, maybe you should try this medicine or that medicine. This is what it was. And we felt this. He loves us. And we never had such a thing. It was a chiddush to us that it was a Rebbe that loved us. And the way that he taught us Gemara, he would sing with us the Gemara. He would sing. He would close his eyes, and he was a Stalin a Chassid who was by Rav Kook. And you know, I have certain warm feelings for things. He was like mamish on fire this year, and he would sing with us the Gemara, and he would say a niggin, leibedik a niggin. We never had such a thing. It was a chiddush for us. It was always, be quiet, shut up, shake it, guy, you look like a guy, you talk like a guy, stop acting like a guy. That's all it was. That's how we were spoken to for the most part, more or less. You know. So then when you thought you get a lady, it's already better. They were the worst. The ladies were the worst. Like in the English teachers, they were crazy. Like, it was the worst. So, you know, there was like these angry old ladies. And it was scary. So what happens is that you don't want to be, you know, you feel like this is what is in yeshiva, so Baruch Hashem, when you have it's, the matzav is much better now, much, much, much better. When you have a Rebbe, when you have a teacher that makes it sweet, that makes it interesting, and he cares about you. There's, when I'm in the summer in the bungalow, there's a chassidish yid, a Rebbe there for little boys. If we could go on a class trip, I'd have to show this to you. My wife and I sit on the porch every morning just to be able to watch. He goes, he first of all, it could be 120 degrees, he wears the whole, he's got everything on. And everything, the buttons closed, you know? And he goes with the boys, marching like off into the woods, singing with them, and the boys are like dancing, it's like something from the Baal Shem Tov, I'm telling you. And my wife and I, you know, and then he brings the boys, he always brings the boys to come past the bungalow, and he says, everybody say good morning to Rabbi Weinberger. And the boys say, good morning. And then he says, that's not enough, leibedik. And then to sing a niggin. And they're learning, you should see how they're learning, they're screaming out the psukim, the boys. It's the most beautiful thing. They're screaming out the psukim. And when the cheder is over, they go to his bungalow, and he gives them cookies, and he sits and tells them stories on his own time. That's already way past day camp. He goes and sits, and they sit around him. If they see it, it's such beautiful, they sit around him, he has on his lap, and he tells them stories, kindlech, and he tells them meisim. It's unbelievable. He makes Jews. That's how you build a Jew. That every one of them is going to remember that I had this yid. You're right, he wasn't so much like us. He had a funny accent. He looked a little bit different, you know. But he loved us. He loved us. He's walking this yid. He walks, and there's one of his little boys is on the bicycle. I'm telling him it's ready 6 o'clock, and he says, Yankala, Rabbi, what is it? Is Yankala, come here? And he comes to him, and he takes him off the bicycle. And says, I have to kiss you. I have to kiss you. I cannot kiss you. So I have to kiss you. And he gives him a kiss. I see this. I'm watching from where I'm sitting. This is kiseder, a sweetness of a Jew, a mesikus of a Yid. And this is what's machaya child. And when you get older, you see. So I had this Rebbe in 10th grade. So he didn't speak this like little children. He spoke this with such derech eretz. And warmth, and we knew like we're a bunch of wise guys. Why are you talking to us with such respect? He spoke to us like we're dignified people, and we didn't think we were all dignified. But he spoke to us with such that you wanted to be that way, you know. You didn't want Rebbe to be disappointed in you. You thought about, like, you know, that's a chashuda thing. Rebbe thinks I'm a good guy, you know. I want to be a good guy. And this is how he turned our lives around it, without raising his voice once. And that's the way we have to raise the children. So every single step along the way, Rav Tzvi Meir says, we could do that every step along the way. He says the biggest Baal Taiva in the world, you know, he's the biggest Baal Taiva. The person who's after all the crazy Taivas of this world can't possibly understand how much tanug, how much pleasure a little holy, pure Jewish child has learning Torah. Learning Alevis. Because we have neshamas. We're not regular people. We're not stam. We have neshamas. And Hashem is brought Torah, talks to us. And the letters of the Alevis talk to us. At every stage, when you learn Chumash Rashi, Mishnayis, Adin V'Kiyas, until the higher level of learning Gemara, we call Chelik Michelke HaTorah. Every single Chelik, every single part of Torah, but Tzorech as a Siyaita Dishmaya, you have to daven. Vesadamos Vavakoshes Vatachnunim Shel Ha'aba Ve'ima. There has to be the crying and the tears and the begging of the father and the mother. Shalom Achanech of the Rebbe, a Mashpia. Shanuch Liftoach as a Pesach. That we should be able to open their hearts, to open the child's heart. Lagil Hachnisis and the Imus Vahamasikis, that we should be able to infuse into that heart the sweetness of being a Jew. Kamei Shaharbit Sadikim Heidu Shiroyim, Heitzel HaTalmud, Kama Hamalamed, Hiskanu Lifneshahu. What he's saying here is that there are some rabbis that they walk into class and they just open up. They don't really have to prepare because they're doing Aleph Beis. So the rabbi doesn't have to prepare Aleph Beis. He just opens up the Aleph Beis book and he says, read Aleph Beis Gimel Daled. But then there are other rabbis that they sit up all night thinking for hours and hours, how could I make a game? How could I make it fun? I see this with my daughter, my Suri, she's a teacher. She's always, always thinking and planning different ways how she can make it exciting for the kids in bed. And asking Daddy, do you think this is something? And I say, I don't know how to make it fun like that. You know, different ideas, different, you know, I can tell you stories, but I don't know. But she thinks of different games and charts, and they do things that they're so much fun, and that they want to learn. And the girls are learning. They're excited by it, and they're learning. And therefore, a Rebbe, even if he's teaching or a Mora that's teaching something which is simple, you have to prepare. You might not have to prepare the actual Chomer, the material, because what is it? The kid, you know, it takes you 5 minutes, you read the Rashi, and you have the whole class, because the kids take a while to read Rashi. That's not the preparation, but the preparation is how to present it. How do I present this Rashi? How do I do this? How can I make it interesting? Looking up a story, thinking of something, an idea, something that I once saw in a book. How could I make this exciting? I always tell my wife, she should be well, I'm always so, I don't want to say jealous, because you're not jealous of people, someone that you love, but I admire her. Every time she gives a shiur, she lives in that shiur. Don't tell her I'm telling you this again. She gets embarrassed. She lives in this shiur, like, and now she's preparing tests, because she learns every year in the life of Melvis. So our whole house is tests. That's all there is. I don't know how to explain it. Everything that she talks about, everything, she's sitting with 1,000 svarim, and she goes to the library, and she goes thinking and looking and cutting out things. And it comes down only for like, it may come out for an hour, 45 minutes. But I'm telling you, she puts in her heart and soul to prepare for that. She does the same thing for the girls in high school she's been teaching. It's not stam. It's hours and hours and hours. And I'm thinking about it, the whole thing. We have to prepare. They don't understand that much, the girls in the class that in high school. That's for 15 minutes. You can look over the thing, you know. She's like all different. How to say it and what to say. And then she'll ask me, should I say it like this or like that? And I said, no, it sounds nice. Either way, but it's good. It's good. No. Which is the better way? How should I? And to talk over and to And the kids all know that mommy's that there's a shir, and all the kids, she asks the children about different ideas that they have at the table. She'll ask the kids. We're talking about tests, and tests means the type of tests and the shape of the tests, and what do you think? And she, it becomes like the whole avoid of her life when she's giving a shir. How to say it over that should be dvarim miskablam alalei. And how many times? So she'll ask me, and I'll show her an idea in a sefer that I think is beautiful, and she thinks it's beautiful, but she says, but it's not really what they need. It's not what they need. And I'm thinking, I need that. So a lot of times I'm thinking, you know, I say something that I need, but it's true. It's not what the chevra needs. And my wife will skip over something, even though it's unbelievable, if she feels it's not what the chevra needs. That's not what they need. So that's nice for me and you, but that's not what they need. And this is the preparation that goes when a person thinks how to give over Yiddishkeit in a way that's beautiful. When you have a teacher like that, when the children are zeichet to have teachers like that, so then the whole Yiddishkeit is a different Yiddishkeit. That's what you need to think of ways to prepare, to put in the arevs, the sweetness, the geschmack, the so pnimi, the inner light, the so hagonas. The Torah, the hidden light of the Torah. It's with everything in Avodas Hashem, every single part of Avodas Hashem. This is with boys and with girls. With boys and girls. Shabbos has to be something which is very special. Every Shabbos at home has to be a Shabbaton. Every Shabbos has to be a Shabbaton. I, since it's a small chevra, I feel like I share things that are more personal. I daven Hashem's Bach every single Shabbos in the shul. I want it to be like a Shabbaton. What does that mean? I'm not successful with that, and it's not only I want it should be that this Friday night should be the most geschmack davening, and this Shabbos morning should be the best, and that Hashem's Bach should help me to say Torah that the chevra needs to hear. Everything should be like it's like we have one Shabbaton. That's how I prepare for Shabbos. When I'm thinking that this is like the only Shabbaton, it's called Esh Kodesh, just parashas Bamidbar Tavshin Samatal. That's the one Shabbos I have with my chevra this whole year. And that it should be a Shabbaton. And every Shabbos you have in the house, it should be like a Shabbaton. Don't just go to sleep and to try to be potter, to try to hide behind guests and to make stuff. It should be in the house, it should be a Shabbaton. It should be to prepare Torah that you say for the kids' Shabbos. You prepare the whole week. What do you have to prepare? As a little kid, how little kids, how much time? You prepare, get swarm in English, you look how to make it interesting, how to make it fun at the table, have contests, have little chidons at the Shabbos table, whatever. You have to make Shabbos, then it should be unbelievable. It should be like every Shabbos should be a Shabbaton in the house. And with the singing and to do a rikud around the table Friday night, you're tired, everybody's tired. The children live for that. And in the beginning they think, hey, what's going on? This is some kind of weird thing. They want that. They want that. You get up and you make a rikud by the Shabbos table. You dance by the Shabbos table. You make a Shabbos table. It's like a Shabbaton. So they only, because they think the only time they can have a Shabbaton is when they go on some once a year to some trip or something. The school, the Shabbos at home is a Shabbaton. And that's going to be by their children, by our grandchildren. It'll also be such a thing. It'll be a Shabbaton Shabbos. Not stam dead and boring and lifeless chas v'shalom, or sometimes even worse than that. A lot of times people are most tense and they get angry and all kinds of things going. Should be lichtig, and if a kid doesn't feel like sitting at the table, so you don't have to sit at the table. Sometimes you have parents that the kids are like it's West Point or something at the Shabbos table. Sit up like this. Sit here. Don't go here. Don't leave. The kids forget it. Whatever. What sounds like? Was it the army or something? You want to go lie down? So go lie down. What's the whole Indian like? You have that has to be like this and like that without the geschmack. You can get away with that if Shabbos is a lot of fun. So you can get away with a little bit of discipline. But if all you have in the house is discipline, sit up like this. Go like this. Don't do this. Do this. Do that. Simon says this. Simon says that. So the kid doesn't want to. So what does it mean Shabbos? The whole memory of Shabbos is like being in jail. It's like being in boot camp. So the kid doesn't want to have a Shabbos. The Shabbos has to be like this. A yontif. The whole mitzvah of Avodas Hashem, kol echad lefi dargos, so each according to his level. Shari ef shalahayr lahashpiel liyelat katan kavanas hariyah kodesh, because I is matzah harishim. What do you think you're gonna teach this? He says you're gonna teach your kid, a little kid, the kavanas of the harizal by eating matzah. tell him to eat a piece of matzah. You make it should be, he should, you know, he can't eat the whole thing, so he doesn't eat the whole thing. It's like, you know, you make it that it should be, that you have to think for the rest of your life, for the rest of his life, that he should be an Erlich Yid, he should be a God-fearing Jew. So you don't have to, you don't get nervous and worried about everything and make the children that they're nervous and that being at the Shabbos table is nervous, is scary. What happens if something moves, if something spills, if something this, or something, they feel like a tension at the Shabbos table, if somebody says something loud, if somebody lifts, or whatever you have, that you know, happen. You know, in life, sometimes you're someplace, you're a guest, and you feel like, you know, so uncomfortable the way it is. There's such a tension, and that the children need to have to enjoy Shabbos. It doesn't mean to be crazy, but they should enjoy Shabbos. It should be good. He says, "Kalachad meivin levad, kalachad lefigiloi, lefi matzava yesh latim otam arav amasuk v'noyim avodas Hashem." Each child, according to his age, you have to give him a sweet, pleasant taste of avodas Hashem. Hamatim lekishra noisa. That is something which is adjusted to that child's own unique talents and his own way. Al pi darko. Now, before we continue, there's a page that I focused that in, that I'm sure that you're all familiar with, but we must do it. It's already Erev Shavuos, so we're going to prepare for Shavuos. This I'm sure many of you. I mean, each year in the shul, I remind the chaver, but it's not always easy to remember from year to year. That we have in the from the Shalach Kavis, from the Siddur of the Shalach, a tefillah, that we have an opportunity. I say this not only on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, but I try to say it many times during the year. But we have this Thursday is Erev Rosh Chodesh. Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan is Erev Shabbos, is Friday. We have a Kabbalah from the Shloah. The Shloah was the Chodesh HaGadosh and the Shnei Luchas Abyss of Yeshaya Levi Horowitz. He's buried in Tveria. We have from the Shloah Kodesh a Kabbalah that this is an unbelievably powerful tefillah to daven for our children. And if you're not yet married, you don't have children, or if somebody's married and they're not chashon, they weren't zeichet for children, to daven for Jewish children, for Yiddish kinder. If you know someone that has problems with their children, to try to daven for their children, and to try to daven for Yiddish kinder, that things should be well. This is an unbelievable tefillah. If you see where I underlined, you see on top. So the Shlomo wrote, "The libi oimer, my heart tells me." Now, when you have a person like the Shlomo says, "My heart tells me," it means it's a very serious matter. My heart tells me, "Shas rotzen letefillah zuba ervaish chadasiv." Even though you can say this the whole year, this tefillah, but the greatest opportunity that this tefillah should be answered, the Shlomo knew, was Ruach HaKodesh, is say this on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That's this Thursday. Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Hu HaChodesh Shebod Nitna HaTorah. The Shlomo, these are the words of the Shlomo, that this is the month, of course, that the Torah was given. Vaz Nikraim Bonim LaShem Elokeinu. Hashem called us his children. And royalis anas biyamahu hu v'ishto. If you can, it's good if the husband and wife can fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That's not if someone's weak or unable to. Obviously, it's difficult. But if someone is able to, the husband and wife to fast, not from the night before, but from the morning. V'yisayru b'tshuva v'yisakna kol nina habayis, and they should try. The father and mother should try to think thoughts of tshuva, and they try to correct some things in the house that need to be corrected. Yisav heter, some things with the kashrus to strengthen in the house. Tumah v'tahara, some things in their own personal relationships between the husband and wife. B'chol anyanim, v'yidnu l'tzedakah anim hagunim, to try to put aside some tzedakah for poor Jews on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and to say this tefillah. So let's do the tefillah together. It'll take us 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Let's do the tefillah together. It could be that this is translated in some English. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Well, I don't know. So we'll do it together. And if you find it someplace, it's on. We did a list. It is on there. In English. Yeah. Hebrew.
And
English. Oh, good. Good. I don't know. That's good. So I know we did it once before. I was gonna say tomorrow morning to the guys. Okay, so let's go over the tefillah together. It'll be at the beginning of our avodah. And remember, this is also if a person doesn't have children. It's for Jewish children. We should all try to say. A little bit got hard, it's hard to read because of the way with the machine. Atahu Hashem Elokeinu Atchalei Barasa Ha'olam. Hashem, you were God before you created the world. Vatahu Elokeinu Shebarasa Ha'olam, and you created the world. Hashem, your God, from the beginning till the end in all worlds. Begin and you created the world because you wanted us to know about your presence, to tell us about you, that we should know about your existence, that we should know. Through your holy Torah, that we should know, we should learn more and more about you. We should be able to get closer and closer to you by learning your Torah. Like Chazal say on the first word of the Torah, Bereishis, in the beginning, B'shvil HaTorah, B'shvil Yisrael. That Hashem created the world, Bereishis, for the sake of the Torah, which is called Reishis, the beginning, and for the sake of the Jewish people, are called Reishis through also. Hashem's beginning, the beginning of Hashem. Hashem's beginning in this world, the Jewish people. So Hashem has created the world for the sake of the Torah, for the sake of the Jewish people to learn Torah. So we should get closer and closer to Hashem. Kihem amcha v'nachalascha, because they're your people, they're your portion. Asher b'charta b'hem mikol umos, who you've chosen from all the nations. V'nasat l'hem es tarascha hakadosha, and you gave them your holy Torah. V'keravtem l'shimcha hagodol, and you brought them close to your holy name, to your great name. V'alkim ha'olam, v'alkim ha'Torah. He says, and for the sake of sustaining the world, and Akim HaTorah says, Bo'alan Mimcha, that you commanded us, Hashem Elokeinu, the Shnei Tzivuyim. Hashem Zvach, you gave us, in order to sustain the world and to keep the Torah, you gave us two commandments. Kasavta B'sarascha Pru Urevu. Hashem, you wrote in your Torah that we should have children. You want us to try to have children. Because after the Sarasha, and you also wrote in your Torah, Elimaratam Oysim is Benechem. You told us to teach Torah to our children. Va'kavana b'shtehen achas. And really, the kavana, the meaning of both of these mitzvahs is one. Both of these mitzvahs, it's really one thing. Kilo l'sohu v'rasa. You didn't create the world to remain desolate, to be empty. Ki'im l'shevis. You want the world to be filled, to be inhabited. V'lechvoidcha v'rasa. And you created it to reveal your glory. Yetzarta afasisa, you formed and you created. Kadeshaniya nachnu v'tzetzainu, so that we and our children of v'tzetzainu, and our grandchildren of v'tzetzainu, kol amcha beis Yisrael, and all Jewish children, kulonu yodei shemecha, that we should all know your name. V'lomdei sarosu l'shman, learn your Torah for its own sake. Uvachain, therefore, avo elacha, Hashem, I'm coming to you. Avo elacha, I'm coming to you. Hashem Melech Malchei Hamlochim, Hashem King of all Kings. Va'apil t'chinosi lefanecha, and I'm beseeching you, I'm begging you. Ve'enai lechasluyos, my eyes are turned to you. Ad shetuchaneini v'sishma tefilosi, until you have mercy upon me and listen to my tefillah. Lahazman li bonim abonis, Hashem, bring into my life sons and daughters that I should have children. V'gam hen yifu b'yirbu, and Hashem help that they should be able to get married and also have children. that our family should continue until the end of all generations, to be able to greet Mashiach who came to the end of time. The sachlus, for the purpose, not stam, to have kids. It doesn't mean to have kids so I should have, you know, should I have the cutest kid on the block or the smartest kid on the block or whatever. But the tachlis shahim va'aniva nachnu kolonu nasik b'sarasa hakadosha, for the tachlis that we were creators, that we should learn your holy Torah and to grow closer to you. Lilmar delamed lishmar velasos, to learn, to teach and to keep. L'kaimus kol devei salma tarascha bi'ahava, all the words of your Torah with love. V'ho'ering ein b'sarasach, illuminate our eyes with your Torah. The David Libanim says, Sechen, attach our hearts to your mitzvahs, via Chelu Ravenu, and unify our hearts, Le'ahava, to be focused, to love you, Le'ir Shemech, and to fear your name. Avinu Avarachman, our Father, compassionate Father, Tein Lukulonu Chaim Arukim Ubruchim. Hashem, give us long and blessed lives. Micha Moicha Avarachman, who is like you, Hashem? Compassionate Father, Zerchi Yitzurav, you remember the ones you created, L'chaim Barachim, for life with compassion. Zachrein L'chaim Nitzchim. But it's not just that we want to live in this world. It's not just we're asking you for long life in this short life, in this little world of 120 years. We want to live a life of Nitzchis, of eternity. The only way that we could be eternal is that we give Yiddishkeit over to our children, and they give it over to their children. That's the only way that we could be eternal forever and ever. in this world. If only he will live before you, that means that if only he will continue. If only he'll, that my child will grow up and will fear you and will serve you. There's no other tachlis. Why else do I want to have a child? What's the other reason? What reason is there to have children? What reason is there to have a child? It's only for this tachlis. Therefore, I've come to ask you and to beg from you, that my children and the children of my children forever should be zera kosher, should be kosher Jews. There should never ever be, not in me or my children, my grandchildren, any, God forbid, any blemish or anything, any imperfection. They should be bring peace, and there should be truth and good and upright in the eyes of God and the eyes of all people. May my children and grandchildren be masters of Torah, Jews who study Torah. Mari Mikra, meaning Tanakh, Mari Mishnah. They should be great in the study of Mishnah. Mari Talmud and Gemara, Mari Raza, great in their understanding of the secrets of Torah. Mari Mitzvah, Jews who are masters of keeping mitzvahs, who love mitzvahs. Mari Gimus Chasodim, that they are great in Gimus Chasodim and kindness. Mari Midas Trumias, that they have exalted Midas, wonderful, beautiful Midas. V'yarducha bi'ahava u'biyira pnimis, that they should serve you with love, with inner love and deep and inner fear. Lo biyira chitzan, it's not stam, a superficial way of fearing you. V'sein l'chal gviyu gviyu mehem daimach sarim mechavim, and give each of their physical bodies, of my children and grandchildren, that they should have what they need in an honorable way, that they should have a parnasa, that they should be able to live in an honorable way. V'sein l'hem b'riyas, v'kavit v'kayach, Hashem, give them health and give them honor and give them strength. V'sein l'hem kaima, that they should be tall. They should be tall. They should be upright. They should be healthy. V'yoyfi, they should be pretty and they should be attractive. V'chein, v'chesed, and charming and chesed. V'yuahava v'achav v'sholem b'neihem. And please, Hashem, let there be love and friendship and peace between all of my children. V'sazmal hem zivugim hagunim, and give them at the right time that they should get good. They should be get good matches. They should have good a good zivug. Mizera tamincham. Descendants of Talmidei Chacham and Mizer Tzadikim, from the seed of Tzadikim, the Gam Zivugeim Yukem Moisam, and that their Zivug should be fit for each one according to who he or she is. Kechol Asher Espalati, like all that I daven for them. Kizikaron Echad Oilu Lakan Lakan, because what I'm asking you is for each and every one of my children. I'm just saying it all together now, but it's for each of my children. Ata Hashem Yedea Kol Talumas. Hashem, you know all secrets. You know all that's hidden. And Hashem, before your eyes, all the secrets, all the deep secrets of my heart are completely revealed and known. That my intention in davening for this, and my intention in having children and raising children, is for the sake of your great and holy name. And for the sake of your holy Torah. Okay, therefore, Aneini Hashem, Aneini. Answer me, Hashem, answer me. V'avur ha'ovis ha'kadoshim, for the sake of our holy ancestors, Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, v'b'glolam teshi abonim, and for their sake, bring redemption and salvation to the children. Shiyu anofim doimim l'shorshim, so that the branches resemble the roots. We're the branches of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Please help us resemble our ancestors. Let us be like the roots. U'b'avur David avdecha. And for the sake of David, your servant, regular revives be Merkava, the fourth leg of the chariot, meaning Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David is the fourth of the chariot. Hamashari Beruach Kodshecha, who sang to you in his Ruach HaKodesh. And then we say from Tehillim, the capital Tehillim, Shia Malos, Hashem, Kali, Hashem, Halak, Adracha, that capital that you are familiar with, the Rebbe Tuv Yerushalayim, Kali, Mechayacha, Urebon, Levenacha, Shalom, Ayisol. And then we end, Ana Hashem, Shemeya Tefillah, I beg you, please, Hashem, who listens to Dav, to Tefillah. Yikuyim bana ha-pasuk. May this pasuk be fulfilled in our lives. Va'ani zayis brisi aysam. I made a covenant with them. Amar Hashem, Hashem said, Ruchi asher alech, my spirit that is upon you, u'dvarai asher samtu b'ficha, and the words of the Torah that I've put into your mouth, le'yamushu mipicha, may they never leave your mouth, u'mipi zaracha, and your children's mouth, u'mipi zera zaracha, and from the children of your children's mouths, may this bris, this covenant of my Torah, never leave their mouths. Amar Hashem, Hashem said, Me'ata v'arayilam, Yilu ratzinu me'fi v'hegirin l'fanecha, Hashem tzuri v'gal. So, This is something that we now on Thursday is the biggest time. We shouldn't miss it. If it's possible to say together, those who are zoicha to be married, to say it together with the husband, and to say it with kavana atzuma, with tremendous kavana, and to know that this tefillah has all the tzaddikim have said that it's from the most powerful tefillahs that we could daven for ourselves and our children. And then we have to think about whether or not the way that we're raising them, this is what we've been talking about the whole year, are we raising them to be Mari Mikra, Mari Mishnah, Mari Talmud, Mari Raza? Are we really honest about, we're asking for all these things, is this what we really want from our children? And we have to think, do we really want our children only for the sake of your holy name? This is all that we're davening for. Why do we want children? Why do we want to get married? What do we want? What are we in this whole parasha for?
So
he says in that little paragraph on top that because it was the month that the Torah was given, so each and every year when Shavuos comes, the heavens are opening up again and Hashem is giving us a new chance to bring Torah into our lives on the deepest level. Whereas we can do this every day of the year, but this time of the year, Yontav is not just a memory of something that was, it's happening again. So Hashem is saying to us again, Rosh Chodesh Sivan is when we came to Har Sinai. Hashem is saying to us again, you are my children and I'm giving you my Torah. So he's saying this is the most powerful time. The Shlodja says, Libi Omer, my heart tells me. He doesn't say it has to be. My heart tells me that it's a very powerful time to say it because the heavens are open again. Hashem is giving us the Torah again. And that means that we have an opportunity to give that to our children. And this tefillah should be answered.
So that we say by night?
Well, you should try to say... You should probably try to say, if you can, to say it on the day of on Thursday day, not Wednesday night, if you can. If there's no time because the husband and wife are not going to have a chance to be together, then it's better to say it than say it together. And say it again on Thursday by yourself, or the husband said, but try to say it together at least Wednesday night, sometime. But try to say the husband and wife. It's a big thing. And have in mind, if you have friends that are having problems with their children, Marlene, if there's a child that's not doing well, either with health or God forbid, he's not keeping mitzvahs in the right way, you should try to write down the names of four and say, not only my children, but Hashem's Baruch, this child, Yaakov ben Sarah, and Moshe, and this, and Sarah bas this, and that the parents should have nachas from them, and that they should go back in the right way. It's a very, very good thing. It's good for us and for our children, and all of Hashem's Baruch's children. And we should be zorichim et Hashem to not only to receive the Torah ourselves, but to give it to our children in the way that we learned, in a way that's sweet, and that will stay with our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren forever and ever.